But I think what's also really important is, you know, there's this concept in, I think it's in like networking, that says, build it before you need it. And the same thing applies to your mental health, is that we often wait for catastrophe to strike and then we start like, okay, well now how do I manage this? But there's actually a wide variety of behaviors that you can engage in that's going to fortify your mind, that's going to help you be more mentally strong and tough so that you can get through life's ups and downs. Because the reality is there are going to be things that are going to challenge you. There are going to be obstacles that get in your way. And you can't fold at every moment. Like, you need to be able to have some toughness in order to get over it and to get through it. And I think, you know, for all of us, there are a few indicators that are that shine their lights, that go, listen, you need to slow down, you need to take a breath, you need to, you know, take a break. Otherwise, we're going to end up in catastrophe. And so don't just think fixing. Think about how do you bolster yourself, and think about how do you resource yourself? How do you provide yourself with like the emotional and cognitive resources so that when you do face a challenge, you face it on the front foot and on the back foot?
Welcome to this week's Expansive Podcast. We are super excited about this week's episode, and thank you so much for joining us again. This week's episode is all about men's health. And I guess we need a whole year to deal with men's health because there's so many things going up and down. But before we kick off into the weekly Expansive Insights, it's always good to welcome my co-pilot, Eric. Eric, welcome, bro. How are you?
Hey, brother. Yeah, good, good. I'm very excited for us to be talking about this topic today. I think it's good to be a bit more in touch also with like these different months and days that are always themed around things and issues. And I don't think we do that very often. And luckily, I didn't even know actually that this is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. I didn't know that. And I don't think I would have known.
No, thank you. It's a pleasure, Eric. It's a pleasure.
Didn't Robin send that to us? Was it you?
No. It was John.
Was it John? You?
Go back to your WhatsApp.
Thank you.
No, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. No problem. Anytime.
So apart from you sending it to me, I haven't actually seen it anyway, to be honest. And it's actually quite strange.
But it's also Pride Month. Yeah, it's also Pride Month and Men's Health Month. I like that both are kind of the same.
Yeah,
and there's Purpose Day today, so welcome to Global Purpose Day today. It's all about finding your purpose and who you are. Lots of days. I guess everything's got a day somewhere in the year. When is Dog's Day? I just want to know when Dog's Day is, and we can just celebrate that. Every day is Dog's Day. Every day. Before we get into today's topic, we want to talk about the Expansive Insights, and every week we talk about the sort of the latest, greatest sort of ideas that have been launched in the week. And my God, is AI moving at pace? We say this every week, but I mean, I can't keep up. But this week, the big news is OpenAI and Apple have now done a partnership officially to come out with Siri becoming a hyper intelligent 4.0, I don't know, ChatGPT assistant that really going to be changing the game in many different ways. And I think it was expected. And Apple Intelligence has obviously now brought out this new sort of very slow and rudimentary changes to the way we work with our phone. And I think that's what Apple's style is just doing the basics. We're not trying to be too clever. We're not trying to be first. But it's interesting to see how this is going to play out, because what they're obviously going to be doing is taking feedback from people enjoying it, not enjoying it, and then obviously ramping it up and getting it smarter and to be better. What are your thoughts there, Eric?
Well, I think the biggest thing actually is that Apple all of a sudden activates AI across 2 billion devices. And the fact that it just accelerates the adoption of AI tremendously. And I think that's what's so incredible. You know, that's also why companies like Google pay Apple $20 billion a year to be on their devices, because one thing that I can fault Apple for many things, you know, and it's always funny when I do little posts about Apple. Apple fanboys come out to fight. They, you do not say anything about Apple. But what you can't argue with is that Apple has distribution, and that when they push out updates, that there's intense adoption across their platform. I saw a thing the other day where they was it the Android Apple like a adoption comparison, and like how when Apple releases a new operating system, it has a very high uptake. Like it was like 60-70% uptake within the first few months, and then the Android comparison of that was like 20-30%. So that's the one thing that that's huge about this is all of a sudden AI is integrated across the board. Not the best AI mechanisms across the board. I think the Siri one is cool. I think the drawing is cool. A lot of the Gen AI stuff is just kind of gimmicky, but still very cool for the adoption of AI and the just the penetration.
And you know how much it's costing? Do you know who's paying for this partnership?
OpenAI.
Nobody.
I assume.
No, oh, no, okay. Yeah, well, no, they're not. No, it's actually free. It's a quid pro quo. And oh, so okay. OpenAI is doing this for free for Apple, and Apple's kind of giving them an opportunity to come and be exposed to these 2 billion people.
On the device.
So it's an incredible cost for OpenAI to be doing this. And Apple's obviously come in as the big cat in the room throwing its weight around, and OpenAI has played along, you know? So
yeah.
It's really interesting how this is playing out because they were paying Google $20 billion, or Google was paying them $20 billion to be their search. But now what's also starting to happen is they reckon that OpenAI is developing its own search. So now what's going to happen is, you don't know if Google's going to be kicked out. Google, of all the innovation poster child, has moved too slow. Google has moved too slow. You have it's insane. In our day and age, you never thought that Google would move too slow. So, yeah, go on.
Sorry, no, I just want to say I saw a guy the other day that said, you know, because what made Google really good is that it became a verb that I'd go and Google something. And I saw a guy the other day say that OpenAI did very well is they synonymized ChatGPT with AI. And so most people that you speak to, when they think AI, they think ChatGPT. And that was their smartest move, is that they've come in early and they've owned AI.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, and Apple calling it Apple Intelligence, that's so Apple. But well done.
Very smart.
I mean, they're marketing geniuses.
Very smart. Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's like it's Coca-Cola, right? Coca-Cola's business is its marketing. It's so good at marketing brilliant. And you know, it's so funny. It was Rory Sutherland was saying Apple's the only product in the world that's luxury and mass market. And so he says there's no other product that's luxury and mass market. And the other product that is available everywhere from a dusty little cafe in Malawi to a Michelin star restaurant in Paris is Coca-Cola.
You'll
never feel out of place drinking a Coca-Cola right from the bottom of anywhere to the top of anywhere. Coca-Cola is always there.
That's so true.
And I thought an amazing insight that Apple and Coca-Cola are just everywhere. Those two sort of products, you know. And they both give us very cancer. So that's the commonality they have. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so I'm kidding. But what's also interesting is that Elon Musk has come out and said that he's going to ban anybody on an Apple device inside his organizations because of the security flaw. And I think that's a really insightful, comment, because I never really thought about that. But the truth is, to be honest with you, privacy's dead. Like, you know, they've done these surveys that everybody's so about privacy, but then when the box arrives and says, tick this box so that you can get free X, Y, and Z for your location or for the photos on your phone, most people tick yes. So there's a disconnect between what people are fighting for privacy and real action around privacy. Because if you are being given an ad that helps you, it's called content. And if you're given an ad that doesn't help you, it's called spam. So what sort of ads do you want to be played? Firstly, you'll say no ads. Yes, I get that. But if there was going to be an ad, you want it to be content. You want it to be something that's helping you. And you can only have that if you are having a non-private or open platform that's able to utilize the information of where you are, what you're doing, and how you're doing it. So look, I've never been one to be worried about privacy. I know it's a big story out there, but you know, it is what it is. And Elon Musk has highlighted. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think there might be a privacy backlash at some point because the amount of data that Facebook has on you is actually mind-blowing if you think about it. So the amount of context they have on you is like you can't even fathom it, to be honest. And I think as long as they use it responsibly, to me, it's perfectly fine. But you never know what's happening in the background. I saw this very funny meme where so it was Apple drinking out of a can with a straw. And so like it's Apple is the guy, the straw or the can is your data. And then it had OpenAI come from the side with another straw into the dude's mouth and like drinking out of his mouth.
Yeah, pulling it out. Yeah, that's
so funny.
I saw that. I saw that meme. Funny. Also, a big thing that happened this week is Elon Musk gave a talk at the Tesla shareholders meeting. And my God, was it an exciting talk. I've never seen Elon Musk so excited. I mean, he was super excited about what's coming. But the way he discussed the Tesla's future, it's got absolutely nothing to do with cars. It's got to do with data, robots, cars, linked into Starlink. I mean, the way he explained what the next phase of his master plan is he's light years ahead of everybody else. And you know what you call a chess master, is somebody that's able to play five moves ahead. That's a master. So you've been able to memorize enough moves to understand that there's five options or
steps ahead.
Five different like variations moves. of moves that you can make. Yeah. And he seems like a chess master because, you know, when he was building SpaceX, he had other plans ahead of him that was going to take Starlink up and And so he's just five steps ahead. And I immediately, after listening to him do that Tesla talk, I went and bought more Tesla shares. I was like, this company is about to just kaboom. So this is not financial advice in any way. I'm just telling you what I did.
I didn't even listen to it. I didn't know it was happening. Sounds awesome. Yeah, we must actually, maybe we can just link to that in the show notes as well.
I'll send it to you.
Cool.
I'll send it to you. It's fantastic. Yeah. Wow. I really was impressed. But let's get to today's podcast topic, which is men's health. And for the ladies out there, I know that, is there a women's health month?
Yeah, there's definitely a women's health month.
Is there? Must be.
Yeah. No, for sure.
But I imagine most women are saying out there is like, you men give us so many headaches. You men are just this and this and all the trouble in the world. Yes. I kind of agree. I agree. And that's why it's important for every men's health, men's mental wellness month. Because I think as men, we've been brought up in a – well, definitely our age group. So when I say men, this is where we are.
Also not our age group.
We've been brought up in a
world – there's your age group and there's my age group. Let's just differentiate that.
Fair. That's true. That's true. So there's the mature men and then there's you. And so the mature men
the
in this world.
And the millennials, yes.
Yeah. I'm an Xer. Just remember, I'm an Xer. So the world we've been brought up in initially gave us kudos and gave us points for acting in a specific way. And what's happened in the world over the last 20 years, and really for good reason, and I'm so happy that it's happened, is that the rules that used to apply don't apply. And men have got something in their bodies called testosterone. And testosterone makes you less adaptable. It makes you much more outcome-based. And so you have men that have been trained in X with levels of testosterone to come and focus on outcomes. And now all of a sudden the rules have changed. And the way we used to act is not acceptable anymore, thank God. And I'm very happy about that. But all of a sudden, men are now the enemy of the system. And that men have had so many positives in their lives that now all of a sudden it's a pendulum swing. And now all of a sudden the carpet's been taken out of our ground. And I understand that it's necessary to bring balance to a system. But where we are at the moment, it's swung all the way to the other side. And so, yes, there's a lot of men that are out of tune. And Scott Galloway has written a lot about this and does a lot of talks about it, that we have more men committing suicide, less men buying houses, less men going into education, less men getting good jobs. And a lot of the sort of issues that we're having around the world is with men that have got nothing to do, that aren't touching a woman, that aren't getting any recognition in the world. And so there's a lot of undercurrent that's happening right now because women are becoming more powerful, more like just more out there, more successful. And also what is happening, just to have a little bit of a dig at what's going on with the woman's side, is there's also a concept around the woman's side that says you mustn't accept this. Men are trash. Men are this. So what's happening is women are also ending up a lot alone and single because there's this tonality that says men shouldn't do this, this, and this. And women are going, well, he did that, I'm out. So now you have two sides of the coin, single people sitting on either side of the coin, kind of not gelling. So yes, I think it's good for us to focus on the sort of men's health and try and understand how we can alleviate some of the pain and some of the pressure, both for men and for the women that have to put up with the men's bullshit.
And I was going to say, I think today's episode, at least the way I've scripted some of this stuff on my side, is kind of thinking about mental health in a broader way. So just applicable to both men and women. But of course, I think it's very important for us up front in this episode to be highlighting the fact that men are dealing with very specific pressures in their lives and different to what other people might be going through. And I think what you said early on is spot on, is that, you know, men need good guidance when they grow up. And if you don't have a good steering mechanism in your life, be that religion or schooling or parents, you're very likely to end up going off the track. And so, you know, as you were saying, religion is down, trust in governments and schooling is down, divorce rates are up, like we said last time. And so with all of that, there's just less guidance. And I wanted to tap into what you said earlier about the different sort of statistics around this. And I thought, like, it's quite shocking when you read this. So men are twice as likely to overdose. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention have said that men are nearly four times more likely to die by suicide than women. Between 2020 and 2021, suicides among young men between 15 and 24 has increased by 8%. Men are nine times more likely to be incarcerated. Boys start school less prepared than girls. They're less likely to graduate from high school or to attend or graduate from college. One in seven men report having no close friends. So, you know, it's very clear that that men are in crisis. But I think that the world is in crisis. And so that's why I thought, you know, from a really what today is about is we are using men's Mental Health Awareness Month as a proxy for just speaking a bit about mental health.
Yeah, of course. I mean, having the right aptitude and nervous system ready to deal with this amount of change is a sexist process, male or female. It really doesn't matter. And what we do have in a society is all these men going through what they're going through, but you also have incredibly anxious women out there. Like, I meet some mothers, especially, that are unbelievably anxious about their kids and are mothering it with anxiousness. So there's challenges on both sides. And then what you have is you have non-gender and non-binary and trans. And so now all of a sudden, it's not just these two, it's now there's a range and confusion at the whole process. And that's why I was actually laughing to myself, Gay Pride Month and Men's Health Month is on the same month. That's kind of like weird and funny in a comedic way, because obviously there's a lot of these questions out there around sexuality and fitting into old systems and old processes. And also, if you watch what's going on with the music industry around the world and so much of this underhanded sexual predators on other males. Like, we had the Me Too movement that was about women, and that's disgusting what's going on there. But what's happening with guys? What guys are doing to guys to become famous and go into the music? So there's pressures on both sides. So yes, I think it's important for us to talk mental wellness across the board, across all genders, whichever one you're at. But yes, let's kick in.
Cool. So the very first one I actually wrote down is that you have to find friends or community. And, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do. And I think especially as you become, you know, as it gets later into your life, there are literally books written on how to befriend people when you're an adult. Because I think there's also this part of us that sort of starts withdrawing and it's kind of a weird thing. You feel set in your ways. You feel that other people are set in their ways. And so you end up not making friends. But of course, like I read a stat that said from the Psychological Association, that people with close friends are more likely to be satisfied with their lives and not suffer from depression. And so it's quite clear that you need to have good friends in your life. And, you know, I don't consider myself to be very natural when it comes to making friends. I'm fortunate to have a handful of very good male friends. But the best way that I can think that people need to do or go about this is that they need to latch into community, especially if you feel like you're not good at making friends. Is like, don't try and like I don't know, like if I had to think of making friends, I wouldn't try and reach out to one person at a time, whatever. You know, I try and hook into a community where possible. And so that might be church, or it might be paddle, or it might be playing golf. But I think that's the way to go about it, is that when you enter into a community, there's much more of an acceptance. It's much easier to just kind of break the ice and start conversations and see what mutual, habits or hobbies or whatever you might have in common. And so that would be my first thing, is to really think about, like, how can you start just fostering relationships that can support you? And so you're not feeling isolated and alone.
In Denmark, to be kind of like always ranks in one of the happiest countries in the world, and they did some research around it, and they found that in Denmark, everybody in Denmark on average belongs to 3.4 social circles. So on a Monday, they do book club. On a Wednesday, they do sauna. On a Thursday, they do this. Friday. So you have these groups of people that you're engaging with, and that's what builds community based on a common sort of focus.
So it might be church and then sports and whatever.
Like, it's about the eighth time you've said church in this podcast. Are you okay, Eric? Are you converting? What's going on?
Literally, my second brother, time.
Brother Eric.
Fine.
Father Eric. No, it's about the sixth time.
Projecting,
anyway,
yes.
Bless you, my brother. Bless you. And also, if you think about the incredible rise of paddle around the world, it's very community-led. You make friends with your community and people that you actually hadn't connected with before and could live just down the road from you. And so the big idea here is, when I move into a new city or when I'm like arriving somewhere new, the best place to go and click into is something that's based on a community. So paddle could be one of them. Chess could be another. Gardening, running. I mean, the running clubs around the world are really important. Somebody's converting. I don't know what's happened, but we need to take this offline, Father Eric.
Maybe I'm trying to convert you. I'm trying to imprint it for you. Like, just think about that.
My name is John. I mean, I'm already converted. I'm one of the disciples. So the fastest growing church in the world is no church, actually. And the fastest growing religion world is no religion.
That's true.
But either way, that's what's happening. So either way, I think community, also if you break down the word community, is broken down into common unity. And so you want to find common unity within people. But ultimately, this comes down to our ability to have a friendly discussion to ourselves. And if you're not having a friendly discussion to yourself, you will continuously find reasons not to go to the community, not to reach out, and not to put yourself out there. And so ultimately, yes, finding community is very important. But what is your internal dialogue doing? How friendly are you within your internal dialogue? Which just segues me into my point that I want to make around men's health, or just mental health, is this internal dialogue. And so this internal dialogue that we have is either friendly or aggressive. There's really no, like, it's either telling you how shit you are or telling you how amazing you are. And this internal dialogue is by far the most important thing that we could be discussing when it comes to mental wellness, because it's your internal dialogue that's determining who you think you are in the world. And the game that I've been playing for the last sort of 6 months or so, and I've actually spoken about it on the pod, but I continue to play it and I continue to meet new characters, is becoming friends with the citizens of your kingdom. And I just want to reiterate how important this is and how much it's actually helped me, is that in order to become a king of your world or the queen of your world, you have citizens in your world that you need to befriend. And the citizens in your world are your personality traits. The scared one, the anxious one, the fearful one, the happy one, the rich one, the poor one, the female, the male, all of these characters live within you. And if you're able to name them, disassociate with them, love them and care for them, you actually start to create more harmony within yourself and then become the sort of the king of the citizens that are actually happy within your system. And so the ones that I've met are, for example, Shaky Sherwin, who was the scaredy cat inside me, that I had to sit with him and speak to him and engage with him. And now his name is Sherwin. It's not Shaky Sherwin anymore. And recently I met a guy called Freddie from St. Elm Street. Remember Freddie? Freddie Krueger.
Yeah.
I got lost my shit somewhere and I got angry. And I was so surprised. I was like, geez, I have not been angry for years. And I just got so angry. And once I started to settle down, I started to realize there was a personality aspect of mine. I'm not always angry, but there's an aspect of me that's angry. And I named him Freddy Krueger, and I've been chatting to Freddy for the last sort of few days, and everything seems to be calm within my citizenship. So internal dialogue and community become really, really important to create a more harmonious mental wellness program.
Yeah, I love that, dude, because you know, it really is everything, how we speak to ourselves. And most of the times, the way you speak to yourself, you would never speak like that to someone else. And we get so, like, we become so, like, tough on ourselves and so critical of ourselves. And you sit there and especially when things aren't going your way and you are already feeling down and you're already feeling low, it's so easy for that voice just to pile on and to not help you lift yourself out of it, but just to keep piling on, like, look what you've done. Of course you're back here. Like, you're not worth it. And it just keeps going. And it becomes much, much harder to break the cycle. And I think that's why meditation is often, you know, there's that one book from, I think it's called The Surrender Experiment, where, like, the idea, Michael Singer, the idea is that you can recognize this voice but not necessarily believe the voice, you know, so that you can see, like, there's almost like two parts to you. There's like, there's you who's having the experience, and then there's you who's like this commentator. And what meditation often allows you to do is to realize that, oh, this voice is also just, it's just thinking things. It doesn't mean I have to believe these things. That, and I think they describe it as like a cloud floating by, is that you can notice the cloud and you don't have to attach to it. You don't have to, like, just keep staring at the cloud. It can just float by and the next cloud will come. And it's the same thing. It's like you, when you sit down and you meditate, all of a sudden, like, you have this like flurry of thoughts that start coming up. And you can just notice it without having to internalize it, and you can just let it go. You don't have to let that voice dictate how you are going to feel or how you're going to show up for the day. You don't have to allow that voice to slander you and pull you down. You can actually just notice and let it go. But then the better step would be, once you've done that, is to start choosing your dialogue, is to start choosing how do you want to look at the situation? Because that's usually actually the problem, right? Is that there's a situation that we are facing. This voice is installing a sort of frame for us through which we look at the situation. And the alternative is that when you can install a new voice and have a new internal dialogue, you get a new perspective, and a new perspective allows you to take new action, and that new action helps you to get a new result, and that new result helps for things start changing in your life. And all of a sudden, the voice in your head starts changing automatically, and it becomes a more positive, more friendly voice as well. But it doesn't start with the environment changing. It starts with you changing that internal dialogue, and then the environment changes.
So I think also got to remember that what has created this internal dialogue is your stories and memories that you've held on to from your past. And you realize that when you start to experiment and start to work through this, you realize that many of these stories that you're holding on from your past are just false. They're just false. They're not actually true. And we often hold on to them to just keep giving us identity and to keep feeding those negative emotions that we become addicted to. My favorite quote from Dr. Joe that really caught me off guard, and every time I see it, it catches me off guard, is we become addicted to lives we don't even like. And it's the world at large is addicted to lives they don't even like, but defend the addiction because it's that emotional addiction that's been brought about by stories and memories that are almost always false. And so when we start to take a step away from ourselves, which is another way of saying that is meditation, when you can stop the story for long enough to realize that you're just a story, you can also start to choose the stories that are making you either feeling up or down. And when you start becoming an objective viewer of what's going on for you, you start to actually start to choose the voice better. And then last point that I want to make on this is exposure to the future. A lot of the mental health that we have around the world is the complexity of what's going on around us. Besides our own internal dialogues, besides the whatever challenges you're having, the fast-paced change of the future is really incredibly complex and also incredibly daunting for most people. And what I always suggest to my clients is spend at least 10 minutes a day in the future every day. Because when you start to understand the language of the future and you start to see Gen AI, what it is, what's it doing, then you get Regen AI. What is that going to do? How is that going to do? What industries are going to be affected? How do I find my voice inside this industries or inside this disruption? All of a sudden, you start to see new points of anchors for yourself to start to discuss things in. And as you start to expose yourself more and more into the future, the more and more the future stops becoming daunting and starts becoming more friendly. So if you're going through the process of healing your past, quietening yourself, exposing yourself to the future, building community around you, then you've built a system that stops you from falling into the trap of victimhood or feeling like, you know, you're useless or not adding any value. And so you've got to systemize the process to help us climb out of the hole that mental wellness or mental illness usually gets us into.
I love that. And it's what we always try and do on the pod as well, is to hopefully provide people with that optimism for the future. Because yes, it's easy to sit and look at the future and be so distraught about it. But, you know, we've also said that, like, we don't know what it's going to look like. So yes, we can make all these predictions, and people love making predictions about what's going to happen. And it's kind of like, it's in a way, it's almost nice to speculate a bit, like, you know, what's going to happen in the next 10 years, you know, which jobs are going to disappear, which ones will still be there. It's kind of fun to do that, but we don't know. But the more you can expose yourself to that, have that exposure therapy, the better. The more you can see the optimism, and the less you have to worry about your place in the future. The last thing that I wanted to say about it is that I think our initial discussion here about the inner dialogue is a very good thing for when you are in the thick of it, like when you are dealing with, you know, something that's happening in your life, or you're feeling very low and down. But I think what's also really important is, you know, there's this concept in, I think it's in like networking, that says, build it before you need it. And the same thing applies to your mental health, is that we often wait for catastrophe to strike, and then we start like, okay, well, now how do I manage this? But there's actually a wide variety of behaviors that you can engage in that's going to fortify your mind, that's going to help you be more mentally strong and tough, so that you can get through life's ups and downs. Because the reality is, there are going to be things that are going to challenge you. There are going to be obstacles that get in your way. And you can't fold at every moment. Like, you need to be able to have some toughness in order to get over it and to get through it. And I think, you know, for all of us, there are a few indicators that are that shine their lights, that go, listen, you need to slow down. You need to take a breath. You need to, you know, take a break. Otherwise, we're going to end up in catastrophe. And so don't just think fixing. Think about, how do you bolster yourself? And think about, how do you resource yourself? How do you provide yourself with like the emotional and cognitive resources, so that when you do face a challenge, you face it on the front foot, not on the back foot? And a small example from my side is, like, you know, I've been saying to Dan now for about a month, is I think we need a break. Like, I think I need 4 days away from tech, somewhere like at a big body of water, somewhere like in the countryside, just to unwind. And it's not that I've been working very hard. It's just that it's been relentless. Like, it's just nonstop work for this entire year, really. And so I've been feeling that. And I realized that if I don't actually go and do that, it's going to get to the point where there's burnout, or, you know, it's going to go from like wanting to do it to like really needing to do it. And you never want to be in that situation. So just don't, you know, think about your mental health before you need to think about your mental health. I think that's kind of my point here.
That's a great point and a good place to close up. Thank you so much for that. I mean, it's no secret that you don't work very hard as a house husband in Somerset West, and you even need a break. And that tells us that people with real jobs out there need breaks much more often. When Eric is on his way to a paddle game, just walk the dogs, made one TikTok video. And, you know, what a life Eric lives as a trophy husband.
What a life.
And with that wisdom, I want to come back as a trophy husband. I think that's my next career move.
Dude, come back as a dog. Come back as a dog in my house. Yes. Maybe, like, you'll love life.
That's true. Exactly.
I'll give you belly rubs all day.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I want your hands on me, but yes, I get it. I get what you're saying. Anyway, thank you so much for joining our pod again. I want to give a quick shout out to Poland. We are ranking in Poland in the top 10 podcasts there. And every week.
And Hong Kong.
That's right. Hong Kong and Poland. I mean, could you get more diverse countries? Hello, everybody in Hong Kong. Hello, everybody in Poland. And Poland, I know unfortunately, only swear words in Polish because I used to work with my friends in the bar in London. So I'm not going to say any of those words that they taught me. But either until then, until we see you again next week, thank you so much for joining us. Please do go and share a star rating or make a comment on our YouTube videos, on our podcast, on Podcast Apple or on Spotify. We always love to hear from you. And until next week, live an expansive life. And I hope that this session has helped you build a system to bring about more peace as you prepare for the future. Until then, ciao.